Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And Florida's K-12 textbooks, Teacher's Guide, Addendum, published by Glencoe World Geography, McGraw-Hill Glencoe, copyright 2000-2003, pages 448 through 449. Muslims follow their faith's principles set down in the Quran, Islam's holy book. They also fulfill five duties known as the five pillars of Islam, professing faith in God and the Prophet Muhammad, praying five times a day, helping the poor and needy, fasting during the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, and making a pilgrimage to Mecca, Islam's holiest city.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our investigation of lies in our text books. This was the pillars of Islam. We already covered the first four pillars. The pillar of saying the Shahada, the false witness, for Muslim must testify to the fact there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Even though none of the Muslim have seen or heard or touched or even know the truth about Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, but they all testify in the Arabic language that he is the Prophet of Allah. The second pillar of Islam is the pillar of prayer, as Muslims pray five times a day facing Mecca at a specific time in the Arabic language, which itself is an amazing thing. For how can Muslims who do not speak the Arabic language, like 87% of Muslims worldwide, how can they pray to Allah in a language which they do not know? But Muslims pray five times a day religiously. The third pillar was the pillar of zakat. They said in the textbook, it is giving money to help the poor and the needy. I'm sorry, they did not give us enough information to know that it was 20%, not 2.5%, not 6.25%, or whatever number Muslim cults come up with these days. It was 20% of the spoil, and it was given to Allah and to Muhammad and the poor and the needy and other relatives. But it was money taken from Christians and Jews and others, as they were killing the male and taking the spoil of war, including, obviously, the women and the children. As for the fourth pillar, which we covered in our last program, it was the pillar of fasting. And we discovered that it is an amazing system for Muslim fast during the day and eat during the night. And we found out reasons why Muslim fast according to the teaching of the Quran. Very astonishing information, because it does not fit with the teaching of the Bible concerning fasting. Today we'll be talking about the last pillar, pillar number 5, as it is taught in our public schools. But that is not the end of the pillars. For next, we will be talking about pillar number 6 and pillar number 7, which they do not teach in our public schools. But Muslims are practicing pillar number 6. As for pillar number 7, it is the final step for Muslims to take over the world. And it will be practiced here in America when Muslims have the upper hand. But for now, let us listen again. What do Muslims do in pillar number 5? For the textbook states,
and making a pilgrimage to Mecca, Islam's holiest city.
This pillar is known in the Arabic language by the pillar of Hajj. That is, when Muslims visit Mecca, which is, as the textbook said, the most holy city for the Muslim. And if you ask why it is a holy city, the answer is because it is Islamic holy city. What is holy in it? If you hear the word holy, you may think it's a place where there is no sin, a place of righteousness and love and peace. But that's not the case. Muslims were killing Christians and Jews on the same land, and Muslims have killed Muslims who left the cult of Islam on the same land. It is just another city which Muslims took by the edge of the sword after they killed and kicked out many of its original owners. Muslims claim it is a holy city because it is the place of Kaaba, the most holy place. But in reality, as we investigate the truth about the Kaaba, it is a place for idol worshippers. There were 360 gods inside the Kaaba, and all the people from the Saudi Arabia Peninsula used to go there to worship all these idols, including the idol, the god of Muhammad himself, the black stone. For Muhammad worshipped the black stone for years before he claimed to be a prophet, and he continued to kiss it after he claimed to be a prophet. Now let me share with you why it is really called a holy city. It is simply a made-up story by Muhammad, as we read it in the pages of the Quran, as well as we read about it in the Hadith. For Muhammad told us that Mecca is a holy city because there is the house which was built by Abraham and his son Ishmael. It is the Kaaba. Obviously, there is no truth whatsoever in such a lie. It's a made-up story to make such a place a holy city. For Abraham and Ishmael were never in Mecca. Abraham and Ishmael did not build the Kaaba. For Ishmael himself never was in Saudi Arabia, never was in Mecca. Arabs are not the descendant of Ishmael. They are the descendant of Keturah. Yes, they are the children of Abraham, but from other sons, not from Ishmael. For the Ishmaelites have nothing to do with the Arab, and the Arab have nothing to do with the Ishmaelites. How do we know this information? And how do we know the truth? It's very simple. If you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 25, there we learn about the second wife of Abraham by the name Keturah and her children. And where did the descendants of Keturah live? They lived in the land of the east, the Saudi Arabia Peninsula land. And also in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, we learn about Ishmael and his 12 sons who are known as the Ishmaelites. And we also know where the Ishmaelites live. They live between Egypt and Assyria. That is the country of Iran. But that is not what Muhammad taught his people, the Muslim, in the writings of the Quran. For the Quran gave us a complete different story, a false story. For we read in Quran chapter 2 and verse 125, and when we made the house, what house? That is the Kaaba. That is the black building you see in pictures where Muslims, when they perform the pilgrimage of Hajj, they go around it in circles. That is the place which held 360 gods whom Arabs worship. But listen to what is said there. This house was a resort for the people and a haven. And to take from the place of Abraham, a place of prayer, a place of prayer, all these idols which was inside the Kaaba is a place of prayer. You see, the idea that this Kaaba was built by Abraham and Ishmael, and then later all these gods has been added inside the Kaaba as an idols for worship, it is a made-up story. For the reality, this Kaaba was built for such idols, and Abraham have nothing to do with this Kaaba. Not Abraham nor Ishmael have touched this house. For we read in the rest of the verse in the Quran, and we made a covenant with Abraham and Ishmael that purified my house for those who march around it, and the dwellers and the kneelers, the worshippers. In verse 126, the Quran said, and when Abraham said, my Lord, make this belt, which is a non-Arabic word meaning country, secure, and provide its people from the fruits to those who believe among them in Allah and in the last day. He said, that is Allah, and whoever become an infidel, so I will give him a little enjoyment. Then I will force him into the fire of torment. And evil is the final place. Verse 127, the Quran said, "And when Abraham was raising the foundation of the house and Ishmael," and then this is a prayer which Abraham and Ishmael was praying according to the Muslim scholars' interpretation. "For they said, Our Lord, accept from us. Surely you are the hearing, the knowing. Our Lord, and make us Muslims to you, and among our offspring a Muslim Ummah to you." A non-Arabic word which means a nation. "And show us our ritual and relent on us. Surely you are the relenting, the merciful." In verse 129, Abraham and Ishmael continue to pray by saying, "Our Lord, and raise to them a messenger from among them who recites your verses to them and teach them the book and the hikmah," which is the word wisdom, another non-Arabic word in the Quran, "and purify them. Surely you are the dear, the wise." And obviously verse 129 here, the prayer of Abraham and the prayer of Ishmael is about Muhammad, the prophet who will come, as Allah answers the prayer of Abraham and Ishmael by sending Muhammad to the city of Mecca.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now, let us read together Quran chapter 2, and verse 130, for Allah said, "And who forsakes the religion of Abraham except him who fools himself? And we indeed chose him in this world, and surely in the hereafter he is among the good." That is Allah's word concerning Abraham. In verse 131, when his Lord said to him, that is to Abraham, "Be Muslim," he said, "I became a Muslim to the Lord of the worlds." And the story goes on and on as Muhammad fabricated information about Abraham and Ishmael building this Kaaba, the house of prayer, the house of worship for the Muslim. And that's why the city of Mecca is a holy city, because there is the house of holiness, the house of worship, the Kaaba. What a nice fairy tale. And by the way, just to know that there is contradiction in the Quran. Where did Abraham leave his son Ishmael and Hagar? In the book of Abraham, that is chapter 14 in the Quran, we read a very strange statement. For there Abraham said in verse 37, "Our Lord, surely I have caused some of my offspring to dwell in a valley which has no plants near to your forbidden house, our Lord, so that they may perform the prayer. So make the hearts of the people, therefore, to yearn toward them and provide them from the fruits. Perhaps they may be thankful." when you read the interpretation of this verse by all Muslim scholars, you will discover that is Abraham speaking about leaving Ishmael, baby Ishmael, with his mother Hagar in Mecca. According to the Bible, this is not a true story. For the Bible said Abraham cast out Hagar and her son Ishmael when he was 17 years old, not a baby. And Abraham did not take them to Mecca, but actually he let them go from the house. And they did not go to Saudi Arabia, but they actually went to Egypt. And that's where Ishmael got his wife, the mother of his 12 sons. But the mistake which Muhammad made here in the Quran is, he stated that Abraham left Ishmael near the forbidden mosque when Ishmael was a baby. And here is my question. How can Ishmael and Abraham build the Kaaba, the holy place of prayer, which made Mecca a holy city, if Abraham left Ishmael at the forbidden house, at the Kaaba? Which means the Kaaba was there before Ishmael was a grown-up boy. He was just a little baby. That's not my interpretation. That is all Muslim scholars' interpretation. But the question we must ask here, is the Kaaba a holy place? How much of the tradition of the idol worshipper Muhammad left for the Muslim to practice in the religion of Islam? The pilgrimage of Hajj is not a holy pillar. It is actually an old tradition of hundreds of years of the idol worshippers. And Muhammad kept the same tradition with some change. For in the old tradition, people used to go around this house naked, but Muhammad did not allowed such a thing, for he allows them to be dressed only in a white piece of cloth, which still to me sound like naked. He kept many of the traditions and the belief of the idol worshippers, those who worship all the gods which used to be inside the Kaaba. But Muhammad cleansed the Kaaba by destroying and getting rid of all the idols which used to be in the Kaaba. But he kept his own statue, the black stone, which Muhammad claimed that it came from heaven and it used to be white. And Muslims, when they go and perform the Hajj, they kiss the black stone. And the reason the white stone turned black is because when people kiss the stone, they receive forgiveness of their sin. Then the stone turns black. Is that true? Why Muslims really practice this pillar, the pillar of Hajj? It is simply to receive forgiveness of their sin. For Muhammad and Allah promise the Muslim people, if they go and do the pilgrimage of Hajj, as they visit, they receive forgiveness of their sin. Not only the sins of the past, but even the sins of the future. They could also visit for another family member, even the dead ones, and they will receive forgiveness for their sin as well, one at a time. I remember one time I was talking to a Muslim man in Egypt, and I called him Hajj, which is the name of a person who performed the pilgrimage in Mecca. And instead of him being happy or pleased that I called him Hajj, he was upset. And he said, "Don't you dare call me Hajj." And I said, "Why is that? Haven't you visited Mecca?" He said, "No, and I will never visit Mecca." And I said, "I'm sorry, I thought you're a Muslim." He said, "Yes, I'm a Muslim. But this visit, it is only for the wicked Muslims to receive forgiveness for their sins. I am a righteous man. I do my prayer. I do my fasting. I do the almsgiving, the zakat. I do not steal. I do not commit adultery. I do not cheat on anybody. I am a righteous Muslim." You see, my dear brothers and sisters, the idea is to go and perform such a pilgrimage. It is for Muslims to receive forgiveness for their sin. But the question we must ask, can a man or a woman receive forgiveness of any sin by simply visiting some sites, even if it was a Christian holy site? There is no such place for anyone to visit to receive forgiveness of sin. The only way we can receive forgiveness of sin is a substitute death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You and I have sinned, and we must die for our sins. And the only way we can receive forgiveness of our sins is someone else who is righteous, who is without sin, will take our place and die for us. And this someone, his name is Jesus, who died on the cross that you and I can have forgiveness of our sins. There are so many verses in the Quran where Allah commands Muslims to do the pilgrimage. The real reason why Muhammad kept the pilgrimage of Hajj from the old tradition of idol worshippers, it was good income for the people of Mecca, and it was profitable for Muhammad and his followers, because as Muslims go to perform the pilgrimage, they take with them many gifts and offerings, as stated throughout the pages of the Quran and the Hadith. No such a thing that Muslim can receive forgiveness for visiting such a place. And this place was not a place of worship, not before or after Muhammad days. Abraham and Ishmael did not build this Kaaba. This is nothing but an error repeated throughout the pages of the Quran. We cover this subject in detail in our new book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, The Revelation of Error. This concludes the five pillars of Islam as taught to our children from kindergarten to the 12th grade in our public schools. The pillar of Shahada, the pillar of prayers, the pillar of Zakat, the giving of money, the pillar of fasting, and the pillar of Hajj. But that's not the end of the pillars. When we meet again in the next broadcast, we will be talking about two more pillars. One Muslim practice in America without talking about it, and the other is yet to come. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.